Hello and welcome to the TFG1 podcast, episode 4, the season 1 recap, recorded January 23rd, 2009. My name is Michael Blanchard, I am your host, and I just wanted to let people know, on this episode, I have two different clips for people. They were recorded at two different times. One is with myself and Mike the Birdman Dodd with This Week in Geek and ThisWeekInGeek.net. He also does stuff on TheGameHeroes.com. And he does other radio stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head. He works for some radio station in Ohio. Anyway, the second clip is Steve Megatron and I from PredaconEmpire.com talking about and reviewing the entire first season of the Generation 1 cartoon. Please enjoy. To open this recap show of the TFG1 podcast, there will be two different clips this coming week, this coming Friday when it airs on iTunes. One of the clips will be Steve/Megatron and I discussing the recap of Season 1, and as a special gift and guest this week, Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek joins me now, and we're going to discuss Season 1. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How's it going? And thank you to all the listeners of This Week in Geek that have migrated over to this show, and to you, Mike, for inviting me on.
Oh, no problem. It's just a great pleasure having you on, buddy. Basically, in this little recap episode, I've got listed several of my favorite episodes. The More Than Meets the Eye three-parter that started the series. I thought it was a really good storytelling. I thought it was a really great way to actually tell and, you know, bring across to the people what Transformers are and how they came from Cybertron to Earth. When I first started out doing the podcast, I hadn't actually watched the DVDs that I have for a while, and just watching these and going back through them, it's just amazing how much different animation was in 1984.
Well, yeah, I mean, Transformers Generation 1 was basically, I think, the finest example of what animation was in that era. Now, this was, I think, one of the first properties to ever be based on a toy line, but that didn't stop it from having great storytelling, and a lot of the voice work in this series was fantastic, especially from Frank Welker, Chris Latta, and, of course, Peter Cullen.
Yeah. I mean, it was just great. Peter Cullen has got to be the best voice for Optimus Prime, no matter what form. I mean, he could have done, not to take anything away from any of the other people that have played him, like in Beast Wars and stuff like that, but he could have played any version of Optimus, I thought.
I think the thing about Peter Cullen is he brought an air of nobility to it, and it really sold the character for him having a serious voice, and it really wasn't cartoony in the regards that it wasn't over the top, except when maybe he was taken over by somebody and he laughed like an idiot, which I think happens in season 2. But there was a lot of great voice work on this show, and Casey Kasem, he played Cliff Jumper, right?
Yeah, he played Cliff Jumper. Casey also played a number of other characters. He played Cliff Jumper. He played Dr. Archiville in The Ultimate Doom. I'm trying to think. He was tons of voices in this series. I mean, Casey has always done, you know, not to take anything away from his Scooby-Doo days with him being Shaggy, but Casey has always done multiple voices of different characters. Another episode that kind of spoke out to me on the season 1 set was Transport to Oblivion. This is the one where basically Megatron gets a whole bunch of stockpiled Energon cubes, and I think this was the first episode that they built the space bridge. They had the space bridges, and they were going to actually they had captured Spike and Bumblebee, and they were going to send them over the space bridge to Cybertron. I actually like seeing the Cybertron stuff more than the Earth stuff. Now that I'm going back and rewatching all these cartoons, I actually like seeing Cybertron more than I do the Earth stuff.
See, some of the stuff on Cybertron, I always liked how Cybertron had this really weird sound design to it.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is it goes into this ambient weird noise, and you hear this stereotypical satellite sound, that boop, 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 or whatever.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. One voice actor that I do have to mention that did not have a whole lot of speaking lines, only he was the narrator, was Victor Caroli. I mean, just his voice is narrating that. I mean, I sent you that voice clip of the intro to the 86 movie where he goes, "It is the year 2005. No one else could have done that. I mean,
you know, it's funny you mentioned that, actually. Now, maybe you can find this for me. I don't know. There was a song somebody made, mm-hmm. and it was all these Transformers clips set to this year 2005 beat, and it kept having that guy's voice repeat over and over again. But it was this beautiful piece of audio techno, and I really wish I could find it. If you guys know where it is, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I'd love to have that for my personal collection. But do you know what song that I'm talking about?
No, the only songs that I know are whatever the instrumental stuff is that's on the cartoon and the soundtrack for the movie. That's pretty much all I know.
I don't know if this was a completely fan-made thing, but
yeah.
That's another thing, too. A lot of the music for the cartoon, yes, it was very bland in a lot of ways, very G.I. Joe-esque, but it worked.
See,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I have to disagree with you, because now that I'm going back and, like I said, watching all these shows again, the music actually, like the instrumental stuff, it actually fit whatever scene it was doing. Like, the best example that I can give you is in the movie when they're doing the battle before Prime gets to Earth, before Blaster calls Prime. That whole thing that Vince DiCola did with the Autobot Decepticon battle.
Okay, but I'm talking the TV show. The music in the movie was awesome. Vince DiCola, actually, we interviewed him last year on This Week in Geek. And yeah, a lot of his compositions are really, really neat.
Yeah.
In fact, he was originally going to compose a theme for This Week in Geek, but I couldn't afford him.
I don't think a lot of people can afford him.
But still, that would have been really friggin' cool.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But one of the things I did like was, I don't know, like I said, it's a lot of the voice acting that really made the series come alive.
Yeah.
It became more than just your standard Saturday morning action cartoon. And just a lot of the voice actors gave the characters a lot of good presence, like Scatman Carruthers as Jazz.
Yeah, actually, I have a clip. I don't know if I don't think I sent it to you. I have one of the clips from one of the episodes of season one where he's doing rap and rhyme. It's really cool. I'll have to send it to you.
That'd be kind of neat. But yeah, I mean, overall, season one was a great beginning to the Transformers franchise. It got a lot of kids hooked. I remember watching this when I was a kid on TV over the air before we had cable and all that sort of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic TV show. I want them to re-release the DVDs yet again, remastered in HD if that's possible. Or Blu-ray?
Dude, don't even get me started, because then it's just going to be me bashing Hasbro. Because I actually, when they released the 20th anniversary 2-disc of the movie,
yeah,
it has a clip in there that says, coming in 2007, Generation 1-2 DVD. Sony and BMG, who owned the rights at that time, their division that they had it under was called Sony Wonder. Well, those offices shut down, and the rights ended up in the air. Hasbro spent from some company. I saw it on TF Wire. I heard it on TF Wire. Some company, Hasbro, struck a deal with them. I forget what the name of the company is, to get half of their library back, which include, they spent like $7.5 billion to get the rights back to their library, and it's just sitting there. I mean, how can you have a property as famous as Generation 1 and as nostalgic as it is and just sit on your ass and do nothing with it?
You wait until The Revenge of the Fallen comes out.
Yeah.
I got a feeling you're probably going to see something. Now, with Transformers, like I said, it's a franchise. It will never die.
Right.
But I think they're almost a little bit leery, because I don't know how well Transformers Animated is performing on DVD. Because personally, like I said, on the TF Wire, that show sucks balls.
Animated, I like some of the stuff. I mean, this is way off topic, but I did like some of the nostalgic stuff and some of the things that they did with some of the characters like Retgar and stuff like that. I did like some of the G1-esque stuff, but yeah, animated was just ridiculous.
And you see, Mike, that's actually a good example of 2000-era storytelling. I mean, if you look back at Generation 1, 1984, for what it was a toy commercial, but they tried, right?
Yeah.
In this one, it was, what stupid situation can we do this week? And this little 8-year-old girl, or whatever the hell her name is from the cartoon show.
Sorry.
I would love nothing more than to drop a piano on her, and Bumblebee should be dismembered. I'm sorry. That show is so horrible.
It's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, that on TFWire they mentioned the human figures that are coming out, the fan-made projects. You can actually drop a piano on Sari's head if you choose to buy her.
And for any of you that wish to donate this figure to me, I will make an epic video, maybe with a laser, a real laser blowing through Sari. So, feedback at thisweekgeek.net.
Oh, damn, that reminds me of Snowball. Did a twit pic the other day. I think it was last week. He had done something with Photoshop where he's got this pose and he's got like lightning or laser beams coming out of his fingers.
It's his attempt to go Super Saiyan. Unfortunately, he is only a half Saiyan. Actually, no, I'm wrong there, so ignore that completely. Dragon Ball, that's yet another show.
That was the other thing that I need to get you on, that all cartoon supplemental, which I wanted to put out by the end of the month. I think the record, Steve and I were going to do the record on that, Steve/Megatron, I think we're going to do the record on that for Saturday the 24th. So
I will see what I can do to free up my schedule now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah. Let's see, other episodes that were memorable for me, the two Dinobots episodes, SOS Dinobots and War of the Dinobots. I just love watching them in action. It's funny as hell.
It is. It really is. Actually, you know what's weird? Those are the first two episodes I ever saw on VHS.
Really?
And the first ones I ever rented on beta. God, I'm old.
Mike, you're showing your age, buddy.
Oh, damn. You kids and your fancy laser discs.
See, I'm lucky, because when I was growing up, beta was just going out and VHS was just coming in, so... Didn't have to worry about beta. Let's see. The next episodes that I have on here is The Ultimate Doom, the three-parter. That was
awesome.
That was awesome, but it really gave a lot of character depth, I thought, too. And I said this in the synopsis in my thoughts for that episode, because I've already gone through and reviewed those cartoons on earlier episodes. But, The Ultimate Doom gave very much a lot of character depth to Spike and Sparkplug. Now, I know a lot of Transformers fans are like, we don't need no stinking humans, but it's like those two from that, and even Daniel, even though I know a lot of people don't like Daniel, all the humans from Generation 1, it wasn't just like, you know, Kicker from Armada and a whole bunch of other kids. It was specific people that were in the series to help the Autobots. And
they had driver's licenses, and it wasn't so ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, there was an episode that I just... Because what I've done with mine is I've gone ahead and written... I've got my scripts written through, like, episode 11. So I've gone ahead, and I'm right now in the middle of season 2, part 2, as far as watching and reviewing and writing down thoughts. There was an episode where... Bumblebee was driving and Spike was in the passenger seat and the cop pulls him over and says, is there a problem, officer? Yeah, your age, son. Oh, but I'm not driving. And Bumblebee transforms. He's like, see, I'm driving. It's like, oh.
I know exactly what episode you're talking about. Is that where they do some weird race thing? Like they're racing or something?
Yeah, I think it was the Autobot run, but I'd have to go back and look.
Wow, memories there. But now that we've gone off on a complete tangent, returning back to the Ultimate Doom. Yeah, you see, I really wish they brought back Dr. Archiville, because I thought he was a really cool villain. But they kind of did in the Binal Tech series. He was mentioned in some of the tech specs.
Oh, really? See, I... I was always very specific with what I watched when I was younger, and Generation 1 was it. Once Generation 1 was over, I didn't really watch anything else until I had found... Actually, it was in the middle of 1996 I found Beast Wars, and I got into that, but that's a whole other topic. Let's see, the last three episodes I liked were Countdown to Extinction, A Plague of Insecticons, and, according to the DVD set, the season ender Heavy Metal War. Heavy Metal War, I have to say, could have almost been... Now, I know that they wrote, that the writers and creators and everything wrote the movie in the first season, but that's probably where they got the battle for Prime and Megatron in the movie, because the battle that they did with all the Autobots and Decepticons watching was just horrendous. It was just knockdown, drag 'em on. Of course, Megatron cheated by creating this machine that... all of his Decepticons gave him their powers, but it was just really, really weird. The Constructicons were in that episode, and I like the Constructicons, I like Devastator, but the origin stories, it's like, oh my god, what were these writers thinking? There's an origin story in season one where they're built in a cave. Megatron says, "We did a good job building you in the cave." And then, like, another episode down the line, it's a different origin story. And then another episode down the line is a different origin story. It's just like, what the hell were they smoking? I mean, come on, get it right. Stick with one thing. Now, I can see maybe it was a reboot, and they wanted to give the Constructicons more of a story. Like, in the episode I just wrote up, The Secret of Omega Supreme. I actually like that origin story for the Constructicons the best, where they were friends of Omega on Cybertron, and Megatron got a hold of the Constructicons and turned them bad. And they destroyed everything, and that's why Omega talks the way that he does, that, you know, Bizarro-type talk. He doesn't talk like a normal Autobot. And it was just really, really... It just really irks me about the Constructicons that they don't have a specific origin story, that it varied so much. So,
well, yeah, like I said, that was the weakness of producing cartoons in the 80s, because no one took the art form seriously. There wasn't usually a level of continuity that you could really connect with. So when something better came along, they just retconned themselves, and they could get themselves out of that corner because it was a better story.
Yeah. Let's see, other notes I have. The season 1 DVD set of Transformers Generation 1 cartoon was very good. The storylines, like we said, were really thought out. There, you know, if you really look at it, there, a lot of those 80s cartoons had some good life lessons in them. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, He-Man had a good public relations message at the end of every episode, but that's another topic. I've noticed a lot of animation flubs. I mean, a lot. There was one episode where multiple things that keep occurring is the jets, all the Seekers like Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker. In one scene, you'll have Starscream talking, and then Thundercracker will walk up next to him, and he'll be the exact same color scheme as Starscream. He won't be his blue and yellow and gray and black. He'll be Starscream's colors.
That's why I'm hoping if they re-release this series, they go back and fix these.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's not likely, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. I want to talk about the menus and the special features a little bit on the set. I know you don't have the set, or you haven't seen it in a while. But
nope, I've got a Chinese bootleg of this series.
Oh,
which is quite good, actually.
So do I, but it has no special features. But anyway, as far as the box set goes, it's really cool. The outside of it is basic. When you're looking at just like holding it in your hand, it's basic silver, and it has the classic 80s Transformers logo. You open it up, and you get an image of Megatron on one side and Optimus on the other. You open it up another... panel, and you get like part of I think it was when we were in More Than Meets the Eye, when the hell is it called, the oil rig fell on them. You got, I think it's Jazz or Wheeljack standing on it, and the DVDs themselves have really held up over time, and there's a whole bunch of imagery underneath the DVDs. The special features, I wasn't that impressed with it. I really wasn't. It showed, like, a preview of BotCon 2002, one of the, I think it was one of the very first BotCons. The rest of it is like original scripts, the bumpers, like for the commercials. I don't like any of those images. I don't like anything, because it'll, like, it'll show Jazz and Victor Caroli will go, and, you know, Transformers will be right back, or however the hell it's said, and I just never really liked it.
It is good to have those, because those can get lost in any number of television stations, because they got those to play before the episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's a good piece of Transformers history. Could something have been done with it? Oh, yeah. But you see, a lot of cartoon series usually get gypped when it comes to special features. Yeah. However, that's not always the case, though, because I looked at the new Batman the Animated Series box set, and that had some really nice stuff in it.
Oh, dude.
But Transformers should have got a lot more, though.
Yeah, don't make me turn around and pick that up, because I have it sitting right behind me.
It is well worth it, as you well know.
No, I know. that about wraps it up for this clip of episode 4. I'd like to thank Mike for being on here with me. It was a great pleasure having you. Love This Week in Geek. Go to the website, thisweekingeek.net, and just listen to all the stuff they have over there. They're doing wonderful stuff over there at Twig. So thank you, Mike.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Plus, if you want to hear more of my video gaming stuff, you can go to www.thegameheroes.com, where I do another podcast with Handsome Tom Hanley over there. And I'm also featured on 1150 AM WIMA in Lima, Ohio. So check me out there as well. So anyway, guys, thanks a lot, and live free or die hard.
See ya.
Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
You got the touch. You got the power.
One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly? That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron.
No! I'll crush you with my bare hands!
I've got to help Prime!
Stay away, lad! That's Prime's fight!
Prime, grant me mercy, I beg of you.
You, who are without mercy, now plead for it? I thought you were made of sterner stuff.
No, you don't, Megatron!
Out of the way, Hot Rod! Fall! Fall! I would have waited an eternity for this.
It's over, Prime. Never!
Optimus, forgive me.
How do you feel, mighty Megatron? Astro Chain, transform and get us out of here!
Don't leave me, Soundwave.
As you command, Megatron. Magnus, and now you. It's a pity you Autobots die so easily, or I might have a sense of satisfaction now.
You got the touch! You got the
power! Arise, Rodimus Prime. Optimus.
Yeah!
No.
This is the end of the road, Galvatron.
After all is said and done, you never walk, you never run your way. You got the moves, you know the street. Break the rules, take the heat, you're nobody's fool.
Now, light our darkest hour.
Let this mark the end of the Cybertronian Wars as we march forward to a new age of peace and happiness. Till all are one!
Till all are one!
You got the power!
Yeah!
Hello, this is Michael Blanchard with the TFG1 Podcast. This is episode 4. This will be the second piece of audio that the listeners will hear today. I am with Steve / Megatron of PredaconEmpire.com. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, it's just way too early. In this second part of the episode, Steve and I are going to be doing the same thing Mike the Birdman Dodd and I did yesterday. That is talking about season one of the Generation One cartoon on a whole, just recapping it and just giving general thoughts. I know you don't have the DVD sets, do you?
No.
Okay, I do. And I've said this before. I spent $300-something to get them back on eBay, and they're the Rhino releases. And first thing I want to talk about is the actual packaging. When you first pick it up, it's silver. It has the it actually says the original Transformers on it. Why the hell it says the original, I have no idea. I don't know why they just didn't put Transformers Generation 1. But anyway, it was made by Rhino, so, you know, go figure. It's basically silver, kind of like metallic looking in color. And on the spine it has the name, and on the back it has all the episodes listed and special features. When you open it up, you get a picture of Megatron on the left and Optimus Prime on the right. You open it up again, you get a picture of Wheeljack. And then I believe there is pictures under... No, there's just colors under the actual DVDs, where the DVDs sit. One of the good things about this set, they all come with... actually, all the Rhino sets come with... like, episode booklets describing what each episode is. And they also, it was a special thing, they also came with 2 animation cells each. So the entire series, the 5 DVD boxes, you get 2 animation cells each, and I actually took all of them out and I framed them all. So, because I figured, I don't want to get these messed up or get them, have fingerprints all over them, stuff like that. To begin the recap, the episodes that I have listed for as favorite ones of mine were the More Than Meets the Eye 3-parter. I thought that was a really great way to start out the series. It was a good way to introduce them to people. I always, and I'll say this again when we get down to the Ultimate Doom ones, I always liked the Cybertron scenes in G1 more than I did the Earth scenes, because it has that like really eerie music when you first see the planet, and it's like, oh, what are we gonna get out of these people? let's see, another one of my favorite episodes was Transport to Oblivion, which was the first episode in which Megatron and the Decepticons built a space bridge, because actually they caught Bumblebee and Spike spying on them, and they were going to send them over the space bridge. Another one was the 2 Dinobot episodes. Always make me laugh. I watched those for an earlier episode of the podcast here, and it just it's just funny as hell. Because in War of the Dinobots, the second Dinobot episode of season 1, the Grimlock, Slag, and Sludge go berserk, and they basically don't want to do anything that the Autobots say and everything else. Well, Optimus has Wheeljack and Ratchet build 2 new ones. So you actually get to see the two new Dinobots fight the original 3 Dinobots, and I think that is the only time we ever get to see them fight each other.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's the only, at least in season 1, and I'm in the middle of season 2 now, writing up stuff, and I didn't see anything. Next ones I have listed is the Ultimate Doom 3-parter. This was just fucking amazing. It had great animation. I thought it really did great with the storytelling as far as character development, especially with Spike and Sparkplug. with the whole, you know, your father is a slave now, and no, Dad, save me, and this, that, and the other thing, and everything else. So I thought that was really cool. And, you know, most Transformers fans that I've heard other podcasts from don't like humans in the cartoons or whatever. But at least with Generation 1, at least they made Spike and Sparkplug a, you know, two centric characters as far as character development. It wasn't just like throwing a bunch of kids in there like they did with Armada.
Yeah, I definitely like the humans a lot better from Generation 1. They don't bother me. They actually fit into the flow of the story, whereas in later generations of Transformers, basically, yeah, from Rid on, the kids in the show were the most annoying part, besides the fact that they tried to do a Pokemon-style Transformers.
I have never seen R.I.D. I've never seen that show. I saw two or three episodes of Armada, and two or three episodes of Energon, and two or three episodes of Cybertron, but I will not watch those. I just won't.
Well, I actually suffered through like a couple episodes of each series. The only one I actually watched more of, out of since Rid to Cybertron, was Energon, and I think I only watched until Megatron came back, and then after that, I didn't watch anymore.
You Megatron stalker.
Yes.
The next one that I have listed on here is Countdown to Extinction. I believe this is the one where this takes, yeah, basically, instead of naming this like the Ultimate Doom Part 4, they just named it Countdown to Extinction, because it basically takes up where the Ultimate Doom left off, the Part 3 left off, and it, you know, so they were doing really good in this first season as far as overall storylines, as far as keeping continuity throughout the episodes. Next one is A Plague of Insecticons, introducing the Insecticons, which, you know, Insecticon episodes are like, the Decepticons have a plan to do something, the Insecticons come in, they double-cross them, or the Decepticons double-cross them, and the Autobots have to clean up the mess. Basically, that's the way I view that. And as I said to Mike in the other clip that the listeners heard on this podcast, the way that I separated the episodes for TFG1 podcast was I looked at the back of the DVD box and I looked at what order they were listed in, and I just counted them off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 split. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 split. So according to the DVD, Heavy Metal War is the season finale of season 1, but that's not how it's listed on IMDb as airing. So I don't know if the list on here is by production or if it's by air date. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. I just went by whatever. I just went by whatever was on the DVDs, and I just separated them into 5 episodes. It's actually between 4 and 6 episodes per podcast. Like episode 3, the episode that came out last week, or 2 weeks ago actually, for when this goes up on iTunes, yeah, it'll be 2 weeks. It was actually 6 episodes to get season 1 out of the way. Heavy Metal War I really liked. I think that they got... Now, I know the movie was written in the first season of the cartoon, but I really think they took a lot of cues from the battle between Prime... The ultimate battle between Prime and Megatron in this. Even though Megatron, a dirty little bastard, cheated and took all his Decepticons' powers with some device, some power chip transfer, some crap like that. But, I mean, when I was watching that episode, it just seemed like it was just like the movie. I mean, you know, it had some of the same actual animation looks as far as the way Prime and Megatron were fighting each other. As I said to Mike in the clip that we did, the Constructicons are in this episode, which I like the Constructicons, I really do. But what pisses me off so much is the writing that happened for them. Because you have, in one earlier episode in season 1, you have Megatron specifically saying, we did good building you in the caves. And then I believe an episode that they're in season two, they say that they're, you know, completely another completely different storyline. And then I had just watched and reviewed The Secret of Omega Supreme, where the Constructicons were actually on Cybertron and friends of Omega until Megatron got a hold of them and turned them to evil. Which, The Secret of Omega Supreme is the only time in the entire series that Omega Supreme does not talk like Bizarro. And it gives a backstory for Omega and the Constructicons, and I actually like that origin story the best. But, I mean, I understand retconning everything. You know, maybe the writers didn't feel that they had a good enough story for the Constructicons in the first place as far as origin. But, good lord, three different origin stories? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The special features, move on to the special features on this. It's nice to have them on here. It's nice to have them as far as, you know, the Generation 1, you know, history, timeline stuff. But I never liked the bumpers in Season 1. Like the commercial out and ins, like, we'll be right back. You know, they mainly used Laserbeak, Optimus, Jazz, and Starscream for the bumpers as far as imagery. What else is on here? We have the animated menus on Season 1. I cannot stand them. All it is like TV screens inside the arc. That's all it is. And it's very hard. Like, if you're just going to watch a single episode, or if you're going to watch, you know, just individual episodes, it's very hard to read the writing. The way that they did the colors and the way that they did the titles for that, it's very hard to read. The animation outtakes, let's see what else is on here. Animation slates and tests, Rhino remastering process, and it also has the Japanese show opening, which I didn't even look at that, seeing as how...
No.
I didn't look at that. Actually, I think I might have when I first got them, but as far as for, like, reviewing the series for the podcast, no. No, I didn't really look at that. What else do I have here in the notes? The animation in the first season was that there are some episodes that it was really, really good, but the thing that gets me the worst is the off-model stuff. Like, you'll have Starscream on screen talking, and Thundercracker will walk up into the scene, and he'll have Starscream's colors. There's another episode where Optimus was completely blue. Like, where his stuff is supposed to be red on his arms and on his, like, on his head, where it's supposed to be, you know, there's different coloration. He's completely blue. It's not good.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that in one of the episodes.
Yeah. actually, for the most part, for season one, like the Ultimate Doom, when I was writing up the synopsis for that three-parter, I wrote it up, but I just found myself just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and watch it now. You know, it was just like sheer enjoyment, because I haven't picked these up. I mean, I bought them, but I haven't actually sat down and opened them and watched them in, like, probably 6 months before I started doing this.
Wow.
Yeah, it had been a while, so it's kind of nice to see... All the new stuff. So let's see, where are we gonna go from here? Just on the side for all things Transformers, is there any news at all besides the movie news this week? Movie rumors.
Nothing. Well, Transformers 3 is slated for June 29th, 2011.
The second one isn't even out yet, and they've already... Oh, God.
And they got the teaser poster out.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that. I'm not too thrilled with that.
Well, somebody apparently photoshopped the teaser poster, and in it is... Let's see if I got it here on my computer. But they brightened it up, and in the picture, yeah. It shows... I don't know if you listen to TF Wire, yeah. But they said that Decepticon-ish symbol type thing for it.
Yeah, so. I had seen it. Actually, one of the Earth2.net forum members had posted the picture in the Transformers 2 thread over on Earth2.net forums, and I had seen it, and yeah, I'm just not too thrilled with that poster.
I'm not too thrilled with it, but I'm going to give it a chance and just see how it goes.
They need to come up with a couple other things first before I start getting excited about this film.
Well, I'm going to wait until they play the actual trailer
at the
Super Bowl. Then I'll know whether I'm going to be jumping up and down for it. So
yeah. So is that official as far as when the trailer will be out? Is it'll be the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah, because apparently the companies that normally do the ads, and I guess the ads are, instead of however many million they were last year, they're $30 million now for the ads on the Super Bowl, and apparently nobody can afford to pay that. And so the movie studio has stepped in, multiple ones, and I guess Paramount or NBC is posting like the G.I. Joe trailer in there. The Star Trek trailer, the Transformer 2 trailer, and then various other trailers from other production companies.
Well.
So we're going to be filled with a giant movie fest in the middle of the Super Bowl.
You mean?
Which gives me incentive to watch it because I don't normally watch it.
You mean to tell me I have to sit through that entire fucking game just to see a Transformers trailer? I love Transformers, but seeing as how the Patriots aren't even in the Super Bowl, yeah, no. I'll wait until somebody rips it on a camera phone and puts it on YouTube.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody's going to have it online by the end of the day anyway, so you might as well just sit and wait if you're going to wait. Latest, you'll have to wait the next day because somebody will have it on YouTube.
Yep. You got anything else that you want to talk about? Because I'm going to be looking at something here for a second and need to check the Gmail, which I can pretty much tell you that there ain't going to be anything in the inbox.
Yeah, there's nothing to mine either for the All Things Transformers. But, yeah, I won't be recording an episode this week. I'll probably be doing one next week.
Okay. You want me to record something, I can. It doesn't really matter to me. Just send me the news stuff if you want me to talk about the news.
There's a little bit of news, but there isn't a whole lot worth spending time on this week, but I'm sure that coming closer to next week, we'll have a little bit more, plus various other announcements.
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with the BotCon announcement. It was Spada. I agree with Spada when he said because the movie's out there and it's probably going to be cheaper for them to get the, you know, voice actors and stuff since, you know, it's out there. Yep. Send me email, people. Damn it, tfg1podcast@gmail.com. The only thing that's in here is the welcome to Gmail. Gmail is so much more different. Yeah, right.
They're all the same in my opinion. I got my own web server built in with my website for Predacon Empire, and I've gotten, I think, one email, and that was because I had a section on the forum called Ask a Character. And I ended up getting some for that. But other than that, I haven't gotten any questions.
Yeah, I actually did my first forum posting on Cafe Spark the other day. I was pimping out my second Evil Autobot Rodimus BotCon figure. Of course, only three people have looked at the damn thing. And nope.
Well, I think people have looked at it, but I don't know if you're going to get much of a response.
But you would think that since it took me about 3 weeks to even, before I even was into that whole bot, the entire set, before I even found that, you know, I just wanted that figure just from seeing pictures of him and stuff like that. It took me 3 weeks to find him, at least at a halfway, you know, decent, even though 175.50 is a horrible price, but, you know, at least it wasn't like $300, $400. And it took me 3 weeks to find that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, as for the G1 episodes, I think I like the three-parter
yep.
of More Than Meets the Eye. Because obviously that's
yep.
what started it all. And a little bit of animation flubs and differences in designs compared to later in the series. But again, that's the first episode, so there's going to be mistakes. And
yeah, I know when Spada was talking about when Mike the Birdman Dodd was either on TFY or Spada and Jesse were on Twig. Spada had talked about after the movie, season 3 is kind of where they went more scientific. I would almost have to disagree with that because I am in the middle of season 2 right now, and it's like very outer space type stuff. I think the episode that I'm on now is... Where is it?
Well, season 3 is more so a kill fest.
That's true, too. Yeah.
I mean, pretty
much. I just finished up The God Gambit, Make Tracks, Child's Play, Quest for Survival, and The Secret of Omega Supreme. And the next one that I have to write up a review for, I started watching The Gambler, which, and Krem Zeek will be in the next one that I write up. Won't be in the next one that I talk about, but, so. Yeah, I think we're gonna end this, folks, because it's very early in the morning, and we're both very, very tired, and, you know, my neighbors are
yes.
just, I'm sorry, thank God they don't listen to the show, but they're just fucking assholes. They just are. I'm sorry, you do not sit there and play rap music at ungodly amounts of sound, you know, at ungodly amounts of time in the middle of the night when somebody has to get up at 5 o'clock in the fucking morning to record.
Welcome to my world. No, I used to have to deal with that when
yeah.
I lived in an apartment, but now that I don't live at one, oh, it's so nice. I live in a trailer and it's quiet.
So, thank you for listening to the TFG1 podcast. Please tune in next time when I will be reviewing 5 episodes starting season 2 of the Generation 1 cartoon, those being Autobot Spike, Changing Gears, City of Steel, Attack of the Autobots, and Traitor. Email may be sent to tfg1podcast@gmail.com. Please send me email, people. Let me know how I'm doing with the podcast. I'd like to thank my guests, hosts for this episode, Mike the Birdman Dodd and Steve/Megatron. It was a great pleasure having them on the show. Hope to have the three of us sit down and record together on future episode. For now, I am Michael Blanchard, saying in the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out. Until next time.